In the air as we have celebrated Vacation Bible School this week, and this morning you're going to get a chance to experience some of the songs we had during this last week and get to see some of the children who came for our Vacation Bible School and hear lots of stories and see pictures of all of the experiences that took place this week. But as we begin our time of worship this morning, we recognize that there are people around this world that are in pain, grieving the loss of loved ones. As we saw on the news this week, the devastation of the terror attack in France, we lift up prayer to them this morning for our brothers and sisters and the families who lost the lives of loved ones. So as we begin our time of worship this day, I think it's only fitting to have a moment of silence for those victims. Keep them in your prayers this week and for the weeks to come. Let us pray. Father, we don't always have the answers, but oftentimes that's where our mind and our hearts go. But this day, as we gather here to worship and celebrate who you are and what you've done, we just place our faith and trust in you. We lift up our brothers and sisters in France this day who are working through the destruction and the terror that took place. We lift their families up, those who have lost loved ones, those who are injured in this attack, Father. We just ask that in their presence this day, may they feel you. Father God, we are called to lift up prayer for those that are hurting, and we know the hurting exists. Father God, we lift up this prayer for the nation of France, for the families that were affected, and for this world who is in desperate need of peace. We place this prayer in your Son's hands and in his name. Amen. This morning we are going to have some excitement, because as you can see, we don't have any instrumentalists with us. We don't have a choir to lead us in worship, so we need someone to sing. So I thought, what better way than to welcome our VBS worship leaders to come forward at this time. Denise, Macon, Caitlin, Angela, if you want to come up, y'all come forward. Now, I'm also going to recognize that we need a little bit more help for our worship today. And so now I'm going to invite any of the children or workers that came to Vacation Bible School to come on up, and we're going to sing some of the songs we sang for Vacation Bible School. Now, you may recognize some of the songs by the names in the bulletin, but you may not recognize the pace of the tune. So you have to get your feet tapping, get your head bobbing, get your hands clapping, and let's worship this morning. Please stand as we sing our call to worship, "This Little Light of Mine." Come on forward, kids, for Vacation Bible School.
You guys stomp your feet like that? And let's clap together. That's it. Keep it going. Let's sing "This Little Light of Mine."
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
I keep tapping now. Sounds good. Everywhere I go.
Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine.
Yes.
Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Oh, that sounds so good. That's called clapping on the back beat. All right, sing this real quiet with me now.
Even around my flame, I'm gonna let it shine. Even when I'm afraid, I'm gonna let it shine.
Yes,
even when I'm afraid, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Service goes along, it's going to get a little bit more upbeat, and I know you can do better than that. I know it in the deepest down part of my soul that we can get into this. And thank you for our worship leaders. Now, next time, I want all our worship, not just our children who came from Vacation Bible School, but for our leaders to come forward as well. That will encourage everyone to get involved. As we begin our time of worship, I do want to welcome you to First Baptist Church of Elon. I'm David Durham, the associate pastor. Our pastor, Mason Smith, is on a scout trip this weekend, so be in prayer for him and Wesley and Wilson as they enjoy their time together with the scouts. As we begin our time of worship, I do want to draw your attention to the salmon color sheet you probably received as you came into worship this morning. It gives you this calendar for things coming up in the coming weeks. Obviously, we have our prayer and praise on Thursday mornings at 11 o'clock. Encourage anyone who is able to come out to our time of prayer and Bible study to join us at 11 o'clock on Thursday. Youth, I do want to remind you that tonight we do have our intensity study. We'll be in our session 3 as we look through finding God in a galaxy far, far away as we watch the Star Wars movies and talk about religious symbolism in there. Be in prayer for our youth this coming Saturday as well. We'll be leaving Saturday afternoon to head to the beach for a week of retreat and growing together, but also serving in the community down at North Myrtle Beach. So be in prayer for us in this coming week as we prepare and as we leave next Saturday. Many other opportunities are in your bulletin this morning. Please make special note of those. It is a great day to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's why we are gathered here.
We're going to read from Psalm 52 this morning. Why do you boast of evil, you mighty hero? Why do you boast all day long? You who are a disgrace in the eyes of God, you who practice deceit, your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor. You love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, you deceitful tongue. Surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch you up and pluck you from the tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at you, saying, "Here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth. You grew strong by destroying others. But I am like an olive tree, flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. For what you have done, I will always praise you in the presence of your faithful people. And I will hope in your name, for your name is good." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this past week of VBS and all the wonderful things that's happened. And we pray for the people in France and all the horrors that have taken place. And Father, we just ask you that you bless us this morning in our time of worship and just help us live better. And we pray in your name who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now we again stand and join us in singing another one of our Vacation Bible School songs, Learning to Be the Light. I'm going to invite our worship leaders up again. And this time I want to encourage VBS helpers, volunteers, to come forward as well. All children and volunteers, come on up. Please stand.
It's so much brighter living in your world. It's baby what you did for me. You gave me something I want everyone to see. When we stumble and it all goes wrong, only you can make it right. So I say, oh, I'm learning to be the light.
I just wanted to share with you what happened this past week at Vacation Bible School. We had 29 children, and we had approximately 40 volunteers. So it was a great turnout. Everybody seemed very excited. We had a lot of fun, and we learned about being the light for Jesus. We talked about how Jesus gives us hope, how Jesus gives us courage, how he gives us direction, and how he gives us his power. I especially want to say thank you to everybody. It was wonderful. I could feel God putting everything into place. Everybody where they were, everything just worked wonderfully. I had people that came and said, well, I wasn't sure if I would be able to help this week. Is there anything I can help do? And it was great. So I really appreciate all the help throughout getting ready and during and after. So thank you very, very much. We're getting ready to watch a slideshow to let you see some of the things we did this past week.
Jesus is the one who lights our way. He gives us hope for each new day. When the world feels dark and lonely, his love illuminates. He's the one I trust and I will follow him. He is the light that breaks through the darkness. Follow his leading. Light it up, light it up. Jesus will guide us through every dark time. Follow his leading. Light it up. He's the one I trust and I will follow him. He is the light. Jesus wherever he will lead me. I'm gonna follow Jesus all the way. I'm gonna follow Jesus wherever he will lead me. I'm gonna follow Jesus all the way. He is the light that breaks through the darkness. Follow his lead and light it up, light it up. Jesus will guide us through every dark time. Follow his lead and light it up, light up the world. Light up the world. Light up the world.
As you can see, we had a lot of fun this last week. I also wanted to let you know, you can see on our graph, or over here with the house, what we decided to raise money for this past week was Habitat for Humanity for Alamance County, and they brought $140 in, and the missions team is going to match that, so we have $280 that is going to Habitat for Humanity of Alamance County. And I wanted to give a pass out something to say thank you to all the people that helped. So if you would stand, if you were a volunteer, they're going to pass something out. Wes and Brian are going to pass something out to you. So if you would stand. And I also wanted to say, you could see the wonderful scenery and in the slideshow. You need to give a special thank you to Dreema for doing all that.
We recognize that a lot of prayers and work went into making Vacation Bible School possible this week. Lots of hands, lots of people behind the scenes, not just in front of everybody, not just the crew leaders, and we want to really especially thank you for all the hard work that you did. We also want to thank the church for being in prayer for Vacation Bible School. So that is such an important part. And VBS would not have been what it was this week without Denise Carroll running it. So Denise, please stand. Thank you. You deserve a big bag of M&Ms. And I'm already started twisting her arm to run Vacation Bible School next year. So be in prayer for that as well. But it was a wonderful, wonderful week. Just ask one of our kids or our volunteers the opportunities. It was a great week of ministry. And you're going to hear a little bit more about it as we go on. At this time, we want everyone to stand. And we're going to sing our offertory hymn, Jesus Loves Me. I want our leaders to come back, our kids to come back. Now, I will tell you, I told you, you may know the words of Jesus Loves Me. It goes a little bit faster than you're used to. So stand up, ready to tap your feet and join in singing our offertory hymn, Jesus Loves Me.
He loves me, he loves me. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so blessed. We thank you for the gifts you have given us. We ask that you will bless these offerings to your service. We thank you for all the things you've given us. In your name we ask it. Amen. Heaven's
This morning, our second scripture reading comes from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, Colossians chapter 1, reading verses 15 through 28. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his Christ. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of the body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer, recognizing that he has reconciled each one of us to the Father. Let us pray. Father God, as we gather in this place today, as we gather on the tail end of a week of ministry here at Vacation Bible School and seeing the excitement in the children this week, Father, we give you thanks because only through your presence and your love and power can that excitement be truly felt. Father God, it's not about the detail, it's about the fact that you are with us, and we give you thanks. Father God, as we sit in this place today and we celebrate Vacation Bible School, we celebrate the other opportunities that take place on a given week, Sunday school, worship, prayer, Bible study, praise, visitation, service, and the list goes on and on. And Father, we give you thanks for driving us and pushing us to serve you. But Father, where we have fallen short, we ask for your forgiveness. Father, you have called. You are calling. May we listen. Father God, you have challenged us as disciples of you to spread the love, spread the light wherever we go. not just in our community, states, and our nation, but across this world. We give you thanks for that opportunity, but where we have fallen short, we ask forgiveness. Father God, may we be in tune with your Spirit as it dwells among us, as it challenges us, as it calls us. Father God, and we are thankful for its presence with us this day, but where we have not listened, we ask for your forgiveness. Because, Father, you have reconciled us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who conquered the grave, the firstborn of the dead, so we each can be placed in front of you blameless, and we give you thanks. We lift this prayer in your Son's name. Amen. At this time, we are going to sing as a congregation the VBS theme song for this year, a song the children love. So I'm going to invite our workers back forward to come and sing our theme song, He is the Light. So please come forward and the congregation can please stand. A special week at Vacation Bible School, and we can't begin to thank all those who had a part in it. It was a wonderful time of celebration. It was a wonderful time of teaching and opportunities to share with our children, not just those within our church, but those from our community, who the light of the world is. I had the wonderful opportunity to work with the recreation group each night during Vacation Bible School. We were out in the heat, and it was fun. We had a great time, and the kids had a great time, and I want to share a story from Vacation Bible School this week. When each night we had a different age group of kids that came out. We had three groups, and one of the groups was our youngest group, our preschoolers. Now, you never know what happens when you put six preschoolers together. It is never, you never goes as planned. And so on Wednesday night, we decided that the lesson we were going to teach our preschoolers was about sharing. Sharing things that God has given us, and ultimately sharing that God gives us gifts and we're called to share those with others. So the little ones came out, and I gave each of the preschoolers a lemon. And I said, you have been given a special gift this evening. It's a lemon. It's a bright yellow lemon. And when I count to three and I say go, I want you to share your lemon with someone else who does not have one. Very simple, I thought. And so I counted one, two, three, go, and they all froze. They just didn't move at all. They all stared at the lemon. I said, well, let's try this again. All right, on three, look around and see someone who does not have a lemon. And when I say go, go share your lemon with someone. So one, two, three, and they went. And they went and shared their lemons. And then they realized they had given their lemons up, and they weren't too happy about that. So what I said, oh, when I count to three, all those who have lemons in their hands now, please share with them, especially the little ones, so they'll have them back. So one, two, three, and they shared. And so as I was standing down, kneeling down to talk with the kids, and I had their full attention, they had their lemons in their hands, and I was about to share how Jesus shares his love with us, and we're called to share that love with everybody we come to. You know, that big moment, you know, it's going to be a life-changing moment for these preschoolers. It's going to drastically change their world. They're looking into my eyes, and right as I'm about to hit the big point about Jesus sharing his love for us, one of the little girls pointed to the sign and said, "Oh, look, it's the moon." And the other preschoolers turned the direction, "Oh, look, it's the moon." And which led to another preschool, "Oh, look, there's the playground," and then they were gone. Missed my chance. And we laugh because obviously preschoolers can be easily distracted about anything that's around them. But I think we're the same way. I think teenagers, adults, you name it, we can be easily distracted. Things can get in our sight line that pull our attention from what we're called to do and what we're being called to be. Not all distractions are bad, obviously. Obviously, sometimes we choose distractions to pull our minds away from stress or hurt or pain. I know I've been trying to do that a lot this week after seeing what happened on the news in France, trying to distract my mind from the pain and the terror that occurred. And sometimes these distractions that we place in front of ourselves are not bad things. They actually help us. But sometimes the world puts distractions into our lives that it draws our attention from what we're truly supposed to be focused on. I mean, we were teaching our children this week in Vacation Bible School to see the light of God, to be the light, to share that light inside of you, and then to share it with the world. To see, to be, and to share. And I think how oftentimes do we fall short because of distractions in our world? This morning, our scripture passage that we're going to focus on comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. And you're welcome to turn in your Bibles with me this morning. It will be on the screen behind us. I apologize about this screen. We had some technical difficulties this morning. Our projector did not want to come on. So if you're using the screen, you have to look back over my right shoulder here. But as you turn there, as we look at this very familiar story, it's a story that you probably all heard before. The story about Jesus coming to Mary and Martha's house. We need to understand what happens just prior to this story. It is essential, it is important to draw the full meaning from a scripture passage to understand what comes right before and what comes right after. And this passage specifically, we need to look at what happens just before this. You see, Jesus has been preparing his disciples. He has been preparing them and equipping them with so many tools and so many stories that they can go out and share this love that they've experienced through Jesus. So this has just happened. He's just sent the disciples out. In the beginning of this chapter in the Gospel of Luke, it says he sent them out and they came back. That's a whirlwind trip, but it happened. The disciples went out and then they came back and were sharing the stories of all the things they were able to do while they were being sent away. As this is going on, as Jesus is equipping them and preparing them for what was about to take place, a lawyer stands up and asks a question. He asks a question, and it leads into a story that we're also probably pretty familiar with, the story of the Good Samaritan. If you remember the story from your memory, the Samaritan is a disenfranchised and estranged, an individual that wasn't looked highly upon by society as a whole. He was caught in between, literally caught in between two groups. He wasn't loved by anyone, but we have the story of a man who was beaten on the side of the road. The religious leaders of the day crossed the street, not wanting to come in contact with him. But the Samaritan, the one that the world looks down upon and pushes off to the side, is the one who stops and takes care and meets the need of this hurt man. In this story, the lawyer is asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" And he says, "To love God and to love your neighbor." And Jesus shares the Good Samaritan story to highlight one of those sections, to love your neighbor. What does it mean to love your neighbor? And then we get straight into this Mary and Martha story that finishes out those two, where it talks about what it means to love God. So I honestly believe that when we read the Good Samaritan story, we should read the Mary and Martha story right after it, or vice versa. When we read Mary and Martha, we've got to read the Good Samaritan as a part of it, because they work hand in hand. So we get to this story, Luke chapter 10, reading verses 38 through 42. "Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is no need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her.'" So we just have a story about the Good Samaritan, a man who was pushed away by society. And unfortunately, in that time period, in that patriarchal time period, women also were pushed off to the side. See, Martha opens her home up to Jesus and the disciples that were with him. So as Jesus enters the home, society dictated that she had to do a certain number of things to be a good host. First off, when a person entered the home, back in that time period, they had to wash Jesus' feet. We assume that happened here. We don't see that it's happened, but we assume that it's happened. And Martha washes the feet of Jesus. And that you place your guest in the most comfortable chair in the house. So we assume Martha escorted Jesus to the most comfortable chair in the house. And then she immediately goes and does what society has dictated her responsibility is to fix her the best meal, fix Jesus the best meal possible, to take care of his every need. Now, in this story, we see that Martha is being a good host. She does all these things. She is all fixing the meal, but guess what? Mary is supposed to be by her side doing the same thing. So in history of this story, Martha is always given the bad name. We say we always want to be more like Mary and not Martha. But I think we need to recognize that Martha was following what society had placed in front of her, her responsibility. And Mary, who was supposed to be beside Martha, the younger sister, helping with those needs, instead is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, that sounds like a wonderful story, right? This week we had adults teaching children, and the children were sitting at the feet of their teachers, listening to the story of the day, of the Word of God of that day. But you see, Mary was doing something that society said was a taboo. Women were not allowed to sit at the feet of a rabbi or a teacher like Jesus. That was the place designated for only men, specifically men disciples of that leader. So Mary, just by sitting at the feet, is violating what society says is appropriate and proper. Now, in today's society, that is not the case, and I'm not supporting this, but we need to understand the dynamic of what's taking place here. Mary's supposed to be in the kitchen helping Martha, but Mary is sitting at the foot of Jesus where only men disciples are supposed to teach. And Martha recognized this. Martha's whole household could have been brought to shame by the very fact that Mary is sitting at the foot of Jesus. And so I can imagine, as Martha's fixing the meal, she's probably grumbling to herself, as we all do about our siblings, that lazy, good-nothing Mary, she should be in here helping me. And what in the world is she sitting at the feet of Jesus? She is going to bring shame upon our household. And that's what could have happened. And Martha was expecting Jesus to say, you know what? You're right. You're right, Martha. Mary should be in there. But Jesus responds in a different way. Actually, the gospel writer of Luke uses a word here right before Martha confronts Jesus about this shameful act of Mary. He uses a word in the Greek is called perispio, which literally means being drawn away from. That's the word for our sermon title this morning, distractions. Perispio, Mary was being pulled, Martha was being pulled away from the Word of God, from Jesus. She was being distracted from what really was what she should be doing. Society says she was supposed to be in the kitchen. But the truth is, she should have been at the feet of Jesus. She was distracted by what the world said she had to do. And Martha, being the good older sister that she is, called Mary out on it. It's like Martha went to, it's like if I were to go, and I have an older brother, Scott, and he was older than me, and I was a better child than he was. I'm just going to be honest with you. You can ask my parents later about that. But it would be like for me, if I'm the older brother in this situation, I go to my mother who's sitting down here and said, "Do you know what Scott's doing? Do you know what he just did? I'm going to tell you everything so he gets in trouble and so I look like the good child." That's exactly what Martha is doing here to Jesus, the teacher. She's going to the teacher in front of Mary saying, call her out for her actions. But Jesus' response is this: Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. That's that word again, perispeo, being drawn away from. You are worried and being drawn away from what truly matters. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. You see, Mary was becoming and being a true disciple of Christ. She was sitting at the foot of Jesus, listening to His Word. That's how we love God. We listen to His Word. We interact with Him. The Good Samaritan was being the good neighbor, learning how to love your neighbor. Mary was being a good disciple by loving God. But let's face it, Martha wasn't doing a bad thing. And I think sometimes the world makes it seem like if we're not doing what the society tells us we have to do, that we're doing the wrong thing. But Martha wasn't doing a bad thing. She was getting caught up in the distractions of life. She was getting caught up with the responsibility of that day. Sometimes our distractions that come in place of us seeing and sitting at the foot of Jesus could be something as important as family or work or hobbies or responsibilities of society. Those aren't bad things. But if they draw our vision, our sight from God, which one is the better thing? Sometimes the distractions we put in our lives are not good. Obviously, addiction or hobbies or sometimes technology or whatever it may be of that day, sometimes things distort our vision. They're placed in front of our eyes instead of looking at what we're called to do. Society's expectations of us can serve as distractions. Politics, racism, social issues, whatever the case may be. If they draw our eyes from Jesus, then they are a distraction, whether we like to recognize it or not. If you put the Good Samaritan and Mary together in the same person, and bring them together, what we see is an individual who sees God and sees how they can share the love of God with others, and a person who listens to God and follows what His Word says. Oftentimes, as disciples of Christ, as followers of Christ, we get overwhelmed. And sometimes we need to be more discriminate on the choices that we make, the actions that we take. What is the better choice? Not the good choice and the bad choice, but what is the better choice? What is the better option that's going to serve and honor God the most? You know, as we are called to love God with all of our heart and to love our neighbor as oneself, we sometimes have to reject what society tells us we're supposed to do, and we have to listen to the greater kingdom and the responsibilities and the duties that it places in front of us, because we are honoring and serving the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of I, not the kingdom of the world, but the kingdom of God. Where do we fall short? The rule of the kingdom of God is to love God and to love others. Our children hopefully learn that this week as we're talking about recognizing the light of God and what the light of God has done for us. Hopefully we recognize that this morning. And we take a look at our lives and see what distractions we have created or the world has created to put in front of us. And if we do that and we turn our eyes towards Him, we can be like Mary, and we act, and we can be like the Good Samaritan. Or maybe we would just rather look at the moon. Let's pray. Father God, as we come to this time in our service where we reflect and we think about what You've done in our lives, each one of us can recognize where we have placed or things have been placed in front of us that have drawn us away from You. Father, we just ask this morning as we confess these times where this has happened that You give us the strength and the ability, the vision to turn our eyes to what we're supposed to be looking to. Father God, may we act just as the Good Samaritan act, reaching out to our neighbor and helping in whatever way that You place in front of us. May we be like Mary, who sits at Your feet at the Word of God and listens and absorbs and transforms our lives into being disciples for You. Father God, we thank You for these two models, these opportunities that remind us that oftentimes distractions can get in our way, but You are the light, and we can find the light. We can see the light. We can be the light, and we can share the light, and we give You thanks. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of invitation, our hymn of response, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, again, it'll be one of our VBS songs. I'm going to ask our VBS leaders if they would come forward and lead us this morning. If you have something that's weighing on your hearts and minds, I'll be down front to speak with you and talk with you. Maybe there's a distraction in your life that you recognize today. You realize it's right there. The altar is always open. You can bring it to the altar. You can share that with God in a personal way. And again, I'll be down front to share if you would like. Please come forward and please stand as we sing our hymn of response, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Along the way, I'm
wherever He leads, I'm gonna follow Jesus. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
No, no.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
He gives me hope for each new day. I'm gonna follow Jesus. He lights my path all along the way. I'm gonna follow Jesus. I will go wherever He leads. I'm gonna follow Jesus. No turning back.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Who allowed your children and grandchildren to be a part of our VBS this week. The story goes on. We thank you for the leaders and the workers who made Vacation Bible School possible, and we thank you for your prayers. As we leave this place, the simple message that we taught our children this week is this: to see the light, to be the light, and to share the light. Let us go in peace.
Go, I'm all in. You can tell me to wave my hands up in the air. Shout loud like no one else is there.